Hello and welcome to today's lecture about how behavioral economics impacts government policy. I'll start today's lecture with a definition of behavioral economics and more specifically nudge theory. After this, I'll provide some examples of the different types of successful nudges. Following this, I'll look at some criticisms of nudge theory and then I'll finish with a summary of my key findings. Let's begin with a definition of behavioral economics. Behavioral economics examines the principles of psychology and sociology and their impacts on the economic choices made by individuals. These choices can have such a profound impact in a host of areas, from education and health to crime and finance, that policymakers have begun to observe how subtly encouraging, incentivizing, and steering individuals in a certain direction can influence their behavior enough to determine government policy, state the Local Government Association, 2013. In particular, there's been growing interest in the concept of nudges, which is what today's lecture will focus on. So, what's nudging? A nudge is a minimally disruptive way of indirectly altering an individual's behavior so that they're subtly guided into making a decision, yet not coercive enough that it impacts on day-to-day activities. Mills, 2020, asserts that it's based on the theory that as individuals aren't thought to act rationally, experts can analyze this irrational, unconscious behavior and influence it in such a way that it benefits a third party. Nudges are typically devised by a nudge department or a behavioral insights team, as named in the UK. According to Economics Online, 2020, governments and policymakers are able to expertly persuade the general public into making more optimal decisions as they have more time available to think about different choices, have more information to base their choice on, and don't rely on simple heuristics such as educated guesses or rule of thumb. Thus, changes regarding retirement, police force recruitment, plastic bag use and charity donations have been made as a result of nudge theory. We'll be looking at some examples of successful nudges later on, but for now, let's focus on some of the different types of nudges. According to SEMA 2022, nudges are either transparent, where the intention of the nudge is made clear and is understood by individuals, or non-transparent, where the nudge is hidden from the person. Examples of transparent nudges include adapting the provision of information, such as highlighting some words and phrases more than others, removing friction by removing obstacles that can get in the way of an individual's best intention, and upselling, where customers are nudged to make spur-of-the-moment decisions. What's more, rewards and punishments, or hugs and smacks or shoves, are used to encourage or discourage certain behaviours. For example, prohibiting fast food outlets near schools, a smack, but providing families with food vouchers, a hug, could lead to healthier eating, say the local government association. Another example of a transparent nudge are reminders, as detailed by Effectiviology, 2022. These are often employed in the areas of health and finance, such as prompting scheduling a checkup or the reminding of loan application deadlines. However, nudges tend to be more non-transparent, as described by both SEMA and Economics Online. A typical example is the default option. The opt-in default seems to be the preferred nudge currently, as we've seen with organ donation in the UK, since it's more favourable. Anchoring is another type of non-transparent nudging, whereby policymakers use a reference point from which individuals will make a judgment and subsequently a decision. A case in point is the use of personalised home energy reports to show people how their consumption compares to their neighbours, which, in theory, nudges them to reduce it. Finally, what's known as creating friction, in other words, deliberately slowing down the decision-making process, is a type of nudge commonly used in finance and technology. These nudges encourage individuals to think more deeply about a purchase they'll make or a post they're about to share on social media so that there's less chance of feeling regretful or taking too big of a risk. Okay, now let's discuss how and why nudging can be effective. Schmidt and Engelen, 2020, claim that as nudges are often tested through random yet controlled trials and hence are supported by evidence, along with the fact that they respect freedom of choice and therefore autonomy, citizens are more likely to accept nudges, and more so than traditional interventions such as taxes or fines. The local government association have reported on a number of successful nudges implemented in several different parts of the UK. In relation to healthy eating habits, Gateshead Council helped to reduce local residents' salt intake by simply changing the style of salt shaker used in fish and chip shops. On some occasions, up to half of a person's recommended daily salt allowance was being consumed in a single serving, so the local council distributed smaller size shakers free of charge, which meant salt intake dropped significantly. In addition, Reading Borough Council encouraged one local town to become more active and more involved in their community by setting its population a challenge of walking 50,000 miles in order to win £6,000 worth of books for their local library. As the local residents were able to monitor their progress and of others via a dedicated website, they were encouraged by each other's achievements, which in turn motivated them even further as a result of peer pressure to conform. And it's not just councils that are succeeding at changing people's habits. We can see positive behaviour change in education too, according to the UN Environmental Programme 2020. University College Cork, Ireland, witnessed a 20% rise in the number of reusable cup use after installing cup washers on campus. The University of Winchester has decreased the amount of waste after providing charity collection packs at student accommodation, and the University of St Andrews has reduced its food waste in student dining areas since decreasing the size of its plates. Overall, nudges are popular with governments and policymakers as they are evidence-based, cost-effective, simple to implement, and promote better behaviour in a variety of contexts. Despite these successes, behavioural economics and nudge theory in particular has its critics, who claim that nudging does not preserve our morality, freedom, autonomy, and dignity. Both Hausmann, 2018, and Schmidt and Engelen argue that nudging can often move from simply encouraging or motivating individuals to more deceiving and brainwashing. To exemplify, nudging is considered to be condescending when nudgers deduce our irrational heuristics and biases, as well as disrespectful when our responsibility for making choices is removed, and therefore our resulting actions aren't really of our own making. Moreover, an individual's autonomy is undermined if their practical judgment and decision-making capacities can't develop as they're a victim of manipulation and their rationality is completely bypassed. Most importantly, nudging suggests that those who design the nudges are more superior to and contemptuous of those they nudge. For some, since policymakers can't reliably identify what's in the nudgee's best interest, governments shouldn't impose what goals individuals should pursue. Let's now finish off with a summary of what I've talked about today. Behavioural economics, and in particular nudge theory, is being used more and more in policymaking as it can help to perpetuate individual yet beneficial choices as determined by governments. While nudging has been effective in improving individuals' health and finances, for example, there have been stronger claims that nudging can be too invasive, exploitative, and influential, and governments should, therefore, not impose their own ideals and objectives on citizens. Thank you.